Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello, I'm Assumpta Latos here at Africa Link. Coming up, European Union leaders pledge more money to help contain the Ebola outbreak.
As of now, the EU has pledged around 600 million euros in funds. European Commission and member states combined. A huge portion of this money is going directly to the state budgets of the three West African countries stricken by Ebola.
Zimbabwe's First Lady Grace Mugabe announces her candidacy to succeed her husband Robert Mugabe. But how big are the chances for her to succeed him?
They are next to nothing. Next to zero. She will not, and she knows that. The idea that she is pushing Mnangagwa means that Mnangagwa is on the ascendant if he were to be vice president.
Stay with us for those stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
We begin with Ebola, an epidemic that has claimed thousands of lives in West Africa and continues to send shivers to many people around the world. As some people in America, Africa, and Asia try to overcome fear of contracting the epidemic, the World Health Body's experts are grappling to develop vaccines and treatment to fight the virus. The World Health Organization says the biggest challenge for them is to get domestic and international health workers to fight Ebola in West Africa. But how has it been responding to the crisis so far? Here is Didem Tali and Isaac Mugabe with a fact box.
The World Health Organization declared Senegal Ebola-free last Friday and Nigeria on Monday. Despite these developments, WHO announced on Thursday that Ebola remains a global health emergency. The organization expressed grave concern that some 10,000 people were known to have caught the disease in West Africa, especially in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone.
The UN Security Council created the first UN mission for public health emergency with the establishment of the United Nations Mission for Ebola Emergency Response last month. The mission was sponsored by 131 countries, which makes it the most supported body since 1945. The Ghanaian capital Accra is serving as a base for the organization and will collaborate with teams in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone.
In response to requests for medical aid from the charity MSF, Cuba sent 256 nurses and doctors to Guinea and Liberia. The team consisted of epidemiologists, intensive care doctors, general practitioners, surgeons, and pediatricians, among others. Cuba has a long history of humanitarian assistance in the developing world.
Ever since the virus crossed oceans and seas and found its way into the United States, screenings have been intensified in the U.S. and nationals from Ebola-affected countries have been stigmatized. A social media campaign with the hashtag of I am a Liberian, not a virus, tries to fight the stigmatization of the people from West Africa.
Liberia remains the worst affected country by the epidemic. The death toll in the country reached more than 2,700, which accounts for more than half of the lives lost to Ebola. According to the nation's state radio on Thursday, dozens of people in quarantine could try to escape because of the shortage of food.
As the situation in Ebola-affected countries shows no sign of improving, two of the world's biggest pharmaceutical companies are working together to accelerate production and clinical testing for Ebola vaccines. However, even if the vaccine is developed effectively, it might take months for this vaccine to be ready for use in the worst affected countries.
That fact box was prepared by Didem Tali. European Union leaders have once again made available millions of euros to fight Ebola. They have been meeting in Brussels to drum up 1 billion euro fund needed to fight the deadly virus. To find out what else the EU leaders have been doing to help curb the Ebola crisis, I called our correspondent in Brussels, Bent Rigget.
As of now, the EU has pledged around 600 million euros in funds, European Commission and member states combined. A huge portion of this money is going directly to the state budgets of the three West African countries stricken by Ebola to keep the healthcare system, or what is left of it, running. And the British Prime Minister Cameron said 1 billion is needed, but the experts in the EU say money as such is not the real problem. There's money enough flowing, but the problem is the personnel on the ground.
And what are they going to do then in that front?
Well, the EU foreign ministers already have admitted that the EU has done too little too late in this respect. And only since a few weeks, the EU is stepping up its efforts. Now, for example, Germany and Belgium have special camps where Ebola teams are trained, and they hope that they will have around 1,000 additional medical staff in place in a few weeks to send to West Africa. If that will be enough, that has to be seen. Many experts say that's still not enough. They need thousands more to come.
And apart from dishing money, what are they planning to do then to contain this virus in West Africa?
Well, besides the money, it's all about sending people, experts and medical staff. And there's also an airlift being established between Senegal and Liberia and Sierra Leone to fly in tents, field hospitals and additional equipment. And the European experts want to buttress the health systems in the Ebola-stricken countries so that people on the spot can run their own system. You cannot bring so much help from outside. It has also, you know, to come from the inside. West Africa has to help itself at a certain level.
Bent Rigget on the line there from Brussels. You're listening to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link with me, Assumpta Latus.
Africa Link. Because Africa is more than just a headline.
And now to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's First Lady Grace Mugabe has officially announced that she would want to succeed her husband, President Robert Mugabe. At a meeting she held with the country's Liberation War veterans, Grace Mugabe demanded Vice President Joyce Mujuru to resign, saying she was incompetent and corrupt. Mrs. Mugabe's announcement comes only a day after Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa escaped death by a whisker after he got involved in a car accident. Columbus Mavunga reports.
Until Thursday, many thought that First Lady Grace Mugabe just wanted to lead Zimbabwe's ruling party's women's wing. No, she wants to replace her husband, President Robert Mugabe. She said she had better chances than Vice President Joyce Mujuru.
Mrs. Mujuru must resign. There is now a vacancy. She has done nothing for the country as she spent her time eyeing the president's post. I don't see her as fit to rule this country. She wants to use money to topple Mugabe.
At the meeting, the First Lady asked Zimbabweans to respect Emmerson Mnangagwa, the country's justice minister, as he was more popular than Vice President. Mujuru and Mnangagwa are angling to replace President Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe since its independence from Britain in 1980. On Wednesday night, Mnangagwa survived a car accident. Officials have ruled out any foul play as the battle to succeed Mugabe was up. But how bright are Grace Mugabe's chances of succeeding her husband? I put that question to an independent analyst, Dr. Pensai Ruhanya.
This statement means that we are close to unlocking the succession debate in ZAN. And it also fundamentally indicates that Mugabe has now settled for Mnangagwa, because the wife of a sitting head of state would not go to the extending of making a pronouncement on a preferred candidate to take a particular position without the authority of the president. But what we are now waiting is a clear, unequivocal, unambiguous position by Mugabe himself.
How bright are the chances of Grace succeeding to rule Zimbabwe?
They are next to nothing, next to zero. She will not, and she knows that. The idea that she is pushing Mnangagwa means that Mnangagwa is on the ascendant if he were to be vice president.
For now, we leave the issue of succession of Zimbabwe's ruling party at the Congress set for December. On Friday, ZANU-PF is expected to debate on whether it will change its constitution to allow its leader to pick his vice president.
Columbus Mavunga reporting from Harare.
Get your news faster in the morning. From October 27, Africa Link will be on air at 4, 5 and 7 UTC. Tune in.
And now let's talk about us, Deutsche Welle. Deutsche Welle is expanding its operations in Africa as it is realigning itself in an increasingly tough global media market. It has opened a new correspondent office in Lagos, Nigeria. To man the office will be Jan Philip Scholz and Adrian Krish. And together with them will be a network of 18 correspondents who will be covering events in Hausa, English and French. Samuel Koya has more details.
The opening of the new correspondent office in Lagos was announced this Thursday at a press conference in Lagos. Present were senior DW officials and guests, including the German consular in Nigeria. DW Director of Programs, Gada Muir, gave reasons why Lagos is the ideal place to set up the new office as part of objectives to expand operations in Africa.
It's very convenient to get from Lagos to other countries in Western Africa, and even further down or around in Africa. And there's no German reporter or correspondent here in Lagos. We are the first, and we belong to the public radio and television broadcasters of Germany. And they have in Kenya and everywhere, they have correspondents and offices, but nobody is here in Nigeria. Nigeria is the biggest and has the highest population in Africa, as far as I know. And the development here is fast, and it's a growing economy, and we thought it's a really a hot spot in Africa, and that's why we are here.
Speaking at the occasion, the Consul General of Germany in Nigeria, Michael Deros, remarked that the opening of the new correspondent office in Nigeria further highlights the growing ties between Germany and Nigeria.
Deutsche Welle, I think, is really rounding the picture and highlighting how important in the German perception, Nigeria is. I really believe that it is not only in the German interest to know something more about Lagos, about Nigeria and the region, but it is a mutual interest.
20 Nigerian FM stations across the country rebroadcast DW's English and Hausa programs, while 8 Nigerian television stations broadcast DW's programs. Bolahan Awonuga of Royal FM 95.1, a DW partner radio station in Ilorin, central Nigeria, says the opening of the correspondent office will bring DW closer to its partner stations.
Well, it's a good thing here that we have a Deutsche Welle going to have an operational office here in Lagos. I mean, it brings them closer to us in order to be able to fine-tune our partnership in order to move closer to each other. And it's also an avenue for us to really work together and to exchange more programs together. We are very, very happy about it.
The opening of the new office reflects DW's expanding coverage in Africa.
Our best wishes to Jan Philip and Adrian. And that report was by our correspondent in Lagos, Samuel Okoya. And now the first episode of Crossroads Generation Season 3.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello there, and welcome back to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for Today.
Today, we start a brand new season of our radio series about young Africans and the challenges they face in their everyday lives. This third season is called Facing the Future, and we are about to meet our young heroes again. Do you still remember them? There's Mercy Msoto, who got pregnant when she was only 15. When we last met her, she had just had her baby.
Your baby's so lovely. Have you chosen a name for her?
Not yet. Hey, who's sending you a message?
Let's see. Hi, Mercy. I heard you're in the hospital. Hope you're all right and the baby too. Dan.
Wow.
Dan Kanyama used to be Mercy's classmate. He is the father of the little baby girl, and he comes from the neighboring country, Laboria. But he didn't seem to care much about Mercy after they slept together. And then there's Nikki Jumbe. He was really in love with Mercy, but at the time she didn't return his affection. Things have been difficult for Mercy at home too. Her father Msoto used to drink a lot, and he got his family into all kinds of trouble.
My wife, please. I am so sorry I sold our baby girl to Mkaraba. But they've said we have a real chance of getting her back.
Go, Msoto, before I call the police.
All right.
And don't come back here again.
So Mercy's mother, Lulu, threw him out and took care of Mercy's younger brothers, Kadu and Banda, all by herself. Since then, 3 years have passed. Let's find out what Mercy, Nikki and Dan have been up to in the meantime in this first episode entitled Here We Go Again. We catch up with Mercy and her friend Trudy as they're about to start a brand new chapter in their lives.
Gosh, Mercy, so this is what university feels like.
Right, Trudy. Not so different from Bongo Academy, is it?
Oh, it's completely different from our high school.
How?
Can't you smell the air of freedom?
Hi, I'm Tina. Is it okay if I sit next to you?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Please settle down. All right, settle down now. That's better. Welcome to the first lecture of your course in journalism. Of course, I don't need to remind you that you're no longer in high school. I expect you to behave like the university students you are. So what is journalism? Anyone? Murmuring and grumbling doesn't answer my question, does it?
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but what's your name?
Trudy. He's our professor. Don't be disrespectful.
Ah, here is our first university student. The rest of you are still high school students, it seems. Not all of my colleagues agree. But I think a university student should ask questions when something doesn't seem right. Especially if he or she wants to be a journalist.
Oh no, not now. Mercy, your phone.
My name is Professor... Turn off your phone for crying out loud.
Professor, turn off your phone for crying out loud.
Oh no, it's my mom. I told her not to call me during class. I hope everything is okay with you.
All Linda. Mobile phones should be switched off during my class. Is that clear?
Sorry, Professor.
Where was I? Right. I am Professor Nyambune. So what is journalism? You sitting next to Miss Rington. Yeah, what's your name?
Tina.
Well, Tina, what is journalism?
Journalism is writing with a purpose.
You took that straight from the internet, didn't you?
Yes. Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong, but it's not that simple either. We will come to that later when we talk about how we source information. So what is journalism? Journalism is defined as the art of gathering and disseminating information to a mass audience.
Just like in high school.
A journalist has to abide by certain rules.
Six. Seven. Eight. Come on. Nine. And 10. Good. 2 minutes rest. Then we'll finish the two remaining sets of weights, huh?
This is hard.
I know. But it does get easier.
Nikki, right? You said your name was Nikki.
Yes, Nikki Jumbe.
Aren't you a bit young to be a trainer in a gym?
Well, I am only 19. But I love sport. And being fit isn't a question of age, is it?
But you need qualifications to be a trainer.
Of course. I'm studying health and nutrition at the university. I only work here part-time.
Oh, I see.
I used to swim a lot when I was in high school. And then I joined the gym. And here I am. I feel so much better when I'm moving my body.
But gyms are so expensive.
Yeah, that's what my girlfriend says too. But you don't have to exercise in a gym. Anybody can do sport. You can run outside, anywhere you like, and it won't cost you a thing. But since you're here, let's get back to our exercises, okay?
Okay.
Okay. One.
Two.
Three. Come on, let's go, let's go. Four.
Hey, Banda, don't copy what I'm writing.
What you're writing is stupid anyway. My story is much better.
Kadu, Banda, be quiet. I just put my granddaughter Linda to sleep. You'll wake her up if you carry on like this. Now stop playing around and finish your homework. If you want to be bright students like your sister Mercy, you have to work hard at school.
Yes, Mama.
Can we live at the university too then?
The university is a place you go to learn, not to live. Your sister only stays there because it's too far to travel every day from here. Now finish your homework. Oh, I have to call Mercy again. I really need to talk to her about Linda. I can't look after her tomorrow.
Come in, it's open.
Hello, Lulu, my wife.
Dad?
Msoto, what are you doing here? I thought you were living up country.
Can I come in?
Msoto, I don't know.
Please, Lulu.
Okay, but you can't stay long. I have to go back to my shop soon.
Thank you.
Take a seat.
Thank you. Let's all close our eyes and pray.
What? You're joking.
Lulu, please.
Okay.
Gimene. Oh, King Karubu, gimene. Karubu. Karubu, gimene.
Dan, you will do as I tell you and sign here. I'm your father.
I don't have to do anything you say, Dad.
Stop arguing with me, Dan. Tomorrow we will hand in these application forms to Laboria University and you will go there to study mining. You know very well that I'm not allowed to run a business anymore after my time in prison. Who do you think is going to build up our company again? You have to think of the family, Dan.
It is not my fault that you ruined your dirty business. You know what? I don't have to listen to this crap anymore. I am leaving. Bye, Dad.
Come back. Come back this instant and sign this form. Fine. You can walk away, but you'll always come home in the end. And I'll be waiting.
Yeah, right. Keep waiting, you crazy old man. By the time you come to your senses, I will be away in Kisimba. I have a daughter there after all. Even if her mother won't be too happy to see me after what happened between us.
So things are starting all over again for Dan, Nikki, Mercy and Trudy in our brand new season of Crossroads Generation. Tune in next time for more. And in the meantime, have a look at our webpage dw.de/LBE. There, you'll also find a brand new video diary. Tina, the girl who sat next to Mercy and Trudy during their lecture, is sharing her thoughts about her first day at university. You can also follow us on Facebook and discuss the start of Crossroads Generation Season 3 with other Learning by Ear fans. Until next time, bye-bye.
Join us on Monday for a brand new episode of Crossroads Generation. And now a summary of what we have been covering. European Union leaders have been meeting in Brussels. Among other things, they have been drumming up support to contain the Ebola outbreak. And Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, announces her candidacy to succeed her husband and demands Vice President Mujuru to resign. And that's it for today. Join us at the same time tomorrow for more stories from the African continent. For questions and comments, send us an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Until tomorrow, it's me, Assumpta Latus. Thanks for listening.